Thank you, choir. Y'all give them some praise for how they've led us this morning. Oh, man, I want to thank y'all at 9:30. Y'all got your praise on a little bit today. And I appreciate you waking up to the power, the possibility, and the reality of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? The power, the possibility, and the reality of who? Jesus Christ. Now, it's either real or it's not real. If you're a guest here today and you've kind of come to Hillview for your first time and you go, what are all these people wiggling about? Why do they got their hands up in the air doing all this? Let me tell you why. We believe Jesus Christ is the only way that a human being can be forgiven of sin and enter into heaven. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to get there. And so you know what? This place is full of a bunch of people that are in Christ. How many of you all can give thanks and praise this morning because Jesus has saved you and you're in Christ? Let me hear you. That's okay. Now, the reason I'm going there, I want you to do something real quick. Okay, if you're here at Hillview, one of the things I got tired of doing, how many of y'all got tired of coming to church and hearing somebody talk at you? I mean, I never liked church. You're talking about a confusing moment in my life. God called me to preach, and I said, God, anywhere but church. I told him, I said, I didn't mind talking about you. You know what? Here was my problem. Raj, Jesus I loved, his bride I could do without. And then I realized, let me give you some good news today. Jesus will not leave his bride. No matter how much she squawks or fusses or points her finger or goes and rolls her eyes. Jesus will not leave his bride because Jesus is madly in love with us. So we're going to spend about 6 weeks or so. I don't know, a 6 to 8 week sermon series, the way it's plotted out. But God may change that. You know how it is here at Hillview. Sometimes we get, you know, God locks us on a verse for that particular Sunday and we take it. I want you to do something though this morning. I want you to look at the person next to you and I want you to say, I thank you for your presence. Just go ahead and let them know. Oh, that was so weak. Do it again. Come on. Thank you for your presence. Hold on. I don't know about you, but I was blessed today. I know Timmy was blessed with me because he looked over there. And I've been blessed all morning because little Claire, she's been over here worshiping. She's about 5 or 6 years old. Yeah, little Claire. And then little Claire's like in there worshiping. She's singing every song, the praise chorus. And I was drawn back to a few moments ago in life. When I remember at Hillview, when worship used to bust loose, there was about 24 to 5-year-old girls. And they would flood the altar, and they would twirl, and they would dance, and they would just be in the presence of God. I remember the first time that happened, and I happened to know one of the little girls that was in the crowd, real, like, up close and personal, because it was mine. And she bolted. She bolted from the front row and started dancing before the Lord. Now, you got to understand, I grew up at First Baptist. We don't dance before the Lord at First Baptist. In fact, we don't dance. And the reason we don't dance is not because it had anything to do with the Lord. It's that we just had this stale European culture that had penetrated the church. And I don't want to bust on Europeans, but they're not exciting. And what changed my life is God got me around his chosen people, the Jews. Y'all have been around Jews. They party. And I said, wait a minute. God picked the people that knew how to celebrate. He brought them out of Egypt because he wants his people to understand his presence. And so we're going to get in the book of Colossians, and it's going to have one big reeking theme through it. Ready? Jesus Supreme. Go ahead and tell that to your neighbor just so in case they're not listening to me, they'll listen to you. Jesus Supreme. The supremacy of Christ. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus will get you past what you can see? Now we got to enter in here because guess what? Guess what? I thank God for a lot of things. I thank God for y'all. I thank you that you came to church today. So you didn't have to come today. Well, you might have your wife made you, didn't you? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking with you. I'm joking with you. But yeah, we ought to be thankful, and I'm going to encourage us to do something. How many of y'all complain more than you give thanks? You know, and I wish I could tell y'all I was Mr. Thankful. But now, I don't think mine's complaining. Elizabeth says I complain, but I disagree with her. I observe. There's a difference in observing and complaining. What I talk about is reality. And Elizabeth said, well, you're just complaining. I said, I'm not complaining. This is the reality. But watch this. How many of you are glad to know that today as we worshiped, as we released praise, that in the supremacy of Jesus Christ, here's his message, God's power, God's perspective, God's promise is greater than our observation of reality. Now that's where it gets good. That's why I follow Jesus Christ. I believe he works better than anything else we got going. What do you think? Now watch. How many of y'all believe politically we'll solve our problems? Y'all are a smart congregation. But hold on, let's be honest. The church there for a little while, we tried to turn Jesus' message over to the politicians. And I'm not busting on politicians. We have politicians here in our church. Thank God. God saves everybody. Here's what I'm saying. But politically, we're not going to have an eternal solution. You following me? Now listen, we're a culture of ologies. We got an ology for everything, don't we? Sociology, psychology, you know, theology. We've really become convinced, especially in the 20th century, that by our ologies, we would have a full and abundant life. At the end of the 20th century, number one users of antidepressants. Boy, don't the facts stink. And the reason is, there's only one person that can save you. And for you and I to be saved, we need a person that's fully God and fully human. I don't know about y'all, I'm so bad it takes God to save me. Anybody else the same way? I mean, I'm rotten. I'm sneaky. I'm conniving. I'll con you. Anybody else like that? I know some of you are hung out with you. Sheriff, you ain't never had anybody lie to you, have you? Sheriff, I got to confess, I've had people pull me over before. Officers of the law of the Commonwealth. And they asked me, do you know how fast you's going? I did. You know what I told them? No. I just want to see if their radar was working. It was. In fact, I had one officer one time, he got blown away. He said, you's going 75 miles an hour. I said, sir, you need to check your radar. He said, I do. I said, yeah, I was going 85. He said, I've never had anybody be honest. I said, I was breaking a law. How many of y'all broke the law before? Come on, sheriff can't arrest you on Sunday. But he can after you get out of service, huh? Yeah, we break the law. We don't do what God wants us to do. So here's what we're going to be talking about. The superior, supreme Jesus would like to be in your life. Now today, some of you have wandered in here. If you're here today and you've never been to church, let me tell you why you're probably here. God wants to save you. Because here's what's so cool. People don't wander into church. They're drawn by the Holy Spirit into church. We've had this happen here a few times at Hillview People. I said, how'd you get here? I don't know. It's going down Nashville Road and I just turned in. This true story here at Hillview. I'm not giving you ooh-ooh. I'm telling you the truth. I turned in. I'd never been to church, walked in here, and got saved. George Vogler, you ended up being here for a long time over a set of golf clubs, didn't you? George, back when we had the chapel, was a funny story. We used to herd you in and herd you out. Well, George, he hadn't been around here at Hillview, and one of his buddies who attended here confiscated his golf clubs. And George had a tea time on Sunday morning. He came in to get his golf clubs. He got caught up in the crowd line. He got seated over to chapel and couldn't get out, and he had to listen to the sermon. See, George thought he lost his golf clubs. But Jesus said, I'm going to lock him up, because Jesus knew you didn't shoot that well anyway, George. He knew you weren't going to make it at PG. He knew it, but he brought you what? To his grace. Now, how many of y'all celebrate there's a God that wants to bring us into his presence? And I want to show you, we got to get a thankful heart, an understanding of grace, and we got to realize that God is supreme no matter what. Go with me to the first part of Colossians. We start with chapter 1. And I want you to hear the wording of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing, And he is convinced Jesus is it. Now, how many of y'all are convinced Jesus is it? Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think in the American, yeah, it kind of sounds like that. That's about as convinced as we are. I don't know if I should clap or not. Somebody might get offended. Somebody might get out of sorts. I'm so tired of hearing the church say this. Well, I think this is what the Lord wants us to do, but I believe it's going to offend some people. You watch this. Paul never had that thought. Jesus never had that thought. The only people that have that thought are Americans in the 21st century who have bought into some kind of thing we've created called political correctness. I have another word for that that I will not use from the pulpit. See me after the service. Because that's what that is. It's not reality. Because you know what? We don't want to call things out as they are. How many of you realize that without Christ, you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell? See, I tell people all the time, being offended is the least of your problems. Being eternally damned is your main problem. But we go, oh my gosh, Pastor Steve, you can't say that. They're sinners that'll get offended. I said, yeah, you're right. But some of them will get saved. See, that's what the Bible says. When Christ some becomes supreme, some will get what? I don't know about y'all. I'm glad to be saved. If it all ends today, we're going to heaven. Anybody excited about that? Think about that for a minute. If it all ends today, Now let contemplate that for just a minute. Everything you're worried about right now would end today. I always ask Jesus, if you're going to come back, please come back before April the 15th. I just don't want to pay taxes. I'd like to look at all the senators. I want my quarterlies back. No, I won't need what I hold on to here when I go there. Now, let's explore. I'm going to challenge something here. I'm going to challenge something. I think it's something that needs to be challenged. There is something greater than the American dream. Tell your neighbor that. Come on, something greater than the American dream. Okay, let's really talk about the American dream for just a moment. If you're kind of like me and you have a few highlights in your hair that are natural. This is the American dream of my youth. Man, you go get a job. You make you some money. You get retired by the time you're 65. You get you an RV. One of them Winnebagos. Or one of them big long coaches. You go to campgrounds for at least 5 years. Get them good sand patches all over your vest and die. That dream stinks. I think there's got to be more to life than that. Hello? Now, it's not wrong to have a Winnebago and run around a good Sam's Clubs, but you ought to be doing something positive while you're at them RV parks. But there's got to be more than that. True? I mean, how many of y'all want to die and your end days be smelling the chemical toilet all the time? I mean, that can't be exciting. There's got to be more to life than that. Just go ahead and tell your neighbor that. There's more than that. There's more than that. There's something greater. Hold on. Watch this. There's something greater than the American dream. And it's God's reality. That you and I get to be living right now in the forgiveness of our sins. And Paul comes out with that. Look, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother. He's letting them know who's there. Paul, put your name in there. Jill, Jane, Joe, Jack. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God. How many of y'all are taking on every day by the will of God? Guess what? I'm going to tell you right now. Elizabeth will testify to this. She's here today. I have stayed married. How, Elizabeth? By the will of God. Because Elizabeth, if she had any logical sense, she would have left the second year. But you know what she said? By the will of God. She wasn't concerned about her happiness because I wasn't providing any. She was concerned about the will of God. You know how you make a difference? You get in line with the will of what? And you say, now, Pastor, surely God wants me to be happy. Now, listen, I don't want to break your heart, but I've read this book more than once. I've read it diagonally, backwards, because that's the way you got to read it in Hebrew. I've searched it. Now, you baby boomers, hold on to this. John, we got to hold on. That's our era, you know. We grew up with, feelings, nothing more than You know, these songs affected us. Up, up and away. You see what I'm saying? This is why your parents are weird. We remember when Big Bird was new. Huh? I mean, these are the songs we grew up with. Lucy in the Sky. Yeah, y'all listen. Huh? Now, hold on. We listened to all that. And we said, the world must be about me being what? Hey, that's big money. I saw this commercial again. How many of y'all realize every decade they come out with one of them ab things that they think by electric shock you're going to have six pack? All you're going to do is have voltage. That's it. Elizabeth bought me one. And didn't. No, I didn't use it. But now they got one. It looks like it's sophisticated. And you can walk around. And somehow or another, by summertime, you're going to look good in your trunks. If you want to look good in your trunks, you got to skip to Big Macs. So what I do is I eat the Big Macs. And everybody's hey, I'm a full supporter of McDonald's. You know that. However, Pastor Mark, he's cut me off a little bit. He got worried about my health. And I said, Mark, what a better way than to be eating a Big Mac to the glory of God by the will of God and end up in the presence of God. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Elizabeth will be chewing on a cardboard granola bar when she dies. She'll be 115 and gone through four husbands. See what I'm saying? You can live too long here. I want to live in Christ by the will of who? Now note this. So Paul's writing by the will of God, not on his own accord. And I want to give you some kickers here out of this first scripture. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Now, a lot of pastors overlook these things. They go, this is a salutation. No, it's not. It's an attitude. Grace and peace to God's people. You're in here with God's people. I want you to give them a God message. Just look at them and say, and grace and peace to you. Come on, move, move. Okay, freeze frame. How many of you had somebody stare you down when you said that to them? They just looked at you like this. I saw a lot of you do this. Oh, really? Grace and peace. Oh, grace and peace to you. Yeah, grace. We're a grace and peace to you place because that's the will of who? To God's faithful people. Now listen, you're important. You're important. Every single one of you are important. Now all week long, guess what the devil's going to tell you? There's a real devil. You say, well, Pastor, I can't intellectually grasp that. Well, he can intellectually grasp you. Somebody say, well, I don't believe in the devil. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, he believes in you. He believes he's going to destroy you. He believes he can manipulate you. And he believes he will crash you. Whether you believe him or not does not change anything. It's real. You notice that? It's what you believe in that determines attitude and will. Grace and peace to you, to God's people. Why? God's moving. How many of y'all realize that God's moving? It's not God's going to move. That's the wrong answer. God's moving. See, Paul knew this. He was there on the day of Pentecost when the power and the fire and the tongues of fire hit the people of God and 3,000 were baptized. He knew God would continue to be what? Moving. How many of y'all glad to know nobody can shut God down? Where's he moving right now in the world? Everywhere. But he's hot in a few places. This isn't one of them. America's not one of the great movements of God anymore. We traded God in for our sophistication, our knowledge, our dream. You want to find yourself spiritually busted? Just trade God's will in for your dream. And you'll come up short every time. Why? Because we come up short. You're right. We come up short. How many of y'all come up short? I just come up short. I've taken tests before and came up short. I got cut from the kickball team in the third grade. I came up short. That's how uncoordinated I was in third grade. I could strike out playing kickball. That's some serious non-athletic ability. I mean, one of them big red playground plastic balls, rubber balls. And back then, we didn't have a politically correct society, so you could kick them and hit other students in the head. And guess what we said when that happened? I'm sorry. Then we did it again. Once again, that's why your parents think like they do. They got hit in the heads with big kickballs when they were young. We even played dodgeball back when I was in school. What do you think about that? Huh? And we had last one standing. It wasn't socialist dodgeball. You were out when you got hit. We didn't go, oh, you get another chance. You know why? They were teaching us about the reality in the world. Sometimes you don't get another chance. Sometimes you get a moment. But guess what God says? I want to give you eternity. Will you be in the will of God? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Some things we need to get on about thanking. How many of y'all thank God you're alive today? But I bet you didn't do it this morning. You did? Good. I do it more now than I used to. How many of y'all do it now more than you used to? I used to do these revivals. I still do revivals. When I was a young preacher, I'd start out and I said, anybody got a testimony? On Sunday nights, when I used to have to do Sunday night church, if I didn't want to preach, we just had testimony time. That's really why we have testimony time on Sunday night. Has anybody got a testimony? We'd always have this old man. He's about 90 years old. He'd stand up and he'd always say this. I just like to thank God for saving my soul. And I just want to thank God for being alive today. And I think to myself, well, boy, that took a lot of thought. And the older I get, guess what? When you're 90 years old, you're thanking God that he saved your soul. And guess what? You're thankful that you're here today. I don't know about you. When I was young, I didn't think about dying. Believe me, some of y'all knew me. Y'all realize that you are listening to a pastor that did stuff. This is how crazy I was. I did stuff my drunk friends wouldn't do. I did stuff drunk people wouldn't do, and I did it sober. Because I was an idiot. And I needed to be saved. Because I thought I was invincible. I remember one night we got the bright idea we was going to go jump off. Now, Sheriff, I didn't know this was illegal. I just thought it was crazy. They dared me to jump off the 31E bridge. I said, ain't no problem. I'm Steve Ayers. I get up on the 31E bridge. You know when it became a problem? After my back leg left. And I felt this jolt of G-force. About halfway down, I thought, self, this could be a bad idea. I was plummeting into the water, saying things if I died would not have been good first words in heaven. As I hit the water, my eyelids peeled back about 3 or 4 times. And as I surfaced, I realized I was. What did I thank God for? How many of y'all thank God for being alive? He's got us this far. He'll take us all the way. Paul said, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. And that you have already heard about in the word of what? Truth, the gospel. How many of y'all glad that you've heard the gospel? Many of you in this room have been baptized. Not all of you, but many of you have. Many of you have said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Now you're God's people. Isn't that cool? Now listen, don't feel left out. Today, if you haven't done that yet, guess what I'm going to give you? An opportunity to do that. Once again, if you're sitting here today in church and you wonder why you're here today, well, if you're not saved, I'd say that's the number one reason. I'd say that's the number one what? Josh, you've been here since you was a little kid, before you was married. What have you always heard in this church? One must meet who? Jesus, the will of God. It's about the will of what? God. How many of y'all glad to know God wants to save people, forgive them of all their sins, and give them a loving and faithful life? I think this is good news. What do you guys think? I mean, I think that's a great God. I don't know why my friends have a problem with God. They say, well, Pastor, religion is confining. I said, I don't disagree. But what about God? What about his son, Jesus? What about the forgiveness of sin? What about the new life that comes from the power of the resurrection? What about the supremacy of Christ? I don't want to hear about religion. Give me Jesus. The one. The one. What about him? Do you notice? No intellectual wants to talk about Jesus. They don't ever talk about Jesus. They talk about the church. They go, well, what about the church? I said, it's messed up. But the Savior's not. The Lord's not. And those who are in faith are not. And it's going on throughout the world. Isn't that neat? Guess what? It's going on out through the world today. It's just not the hot pockets of the Christian movement. Where do you think they are? They're in Latin America. They're in Africa. They're in Korea. You won't shut God down. If we don't want to listen, He'll find some folk to listen. And the more you listen, the more you'll be blessed. Now, you know what? I'm excited. How many of y'all are excited that we get to worship today? And we get to praise God today. I'm not being arrested for what I'm saying today. But you know what some of y'all believe? You believe that freedom's guaranteed. You believe it's always going to be that way. You believe this is one nation under God. I say, used to be. Now it's one nation under me. You know how I know? I listen to people. What are they always demanding? Their rights. See, as long as you demand your rights, you have the right to go to hell. That's the only right we have. It's the right to go to hell. I mean, you got to be really careful when you want all this fairness stuff. You want God to be fair? How many of y'all want God to be fair? If God was fair, here's the fairness deal. You sin, He zaps. Son, it'd sound like a mosquito bin throughout the United States and bug lights. Bing, 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 bing. But you know what God said? I'm a God of grace. My will is grace and love. You sin, I forgive, I reestablish, I reposition, I redesign your destiny throughout the world. How many of y'all have a redesigned destiny in here? It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Jesus is it. That's amazing, isn't it? So we're going to go through this letter and we're going to hear over and over and over again, Jesus is it! And you go, Pastor, that sounds so simple. Yeah, but we don't live it out. I wish we did. I don't even hear pastors talking about Jesus. I hear them talking about other pastors. I don't care what other pastors say unless they're saying what Jesus says. I don't care what a theology says unless it says what Jesus says. And guess what Jesus was concerned about? Loving the hell out of us. How many of y'all glad to know you got a God that loves the hell out of you? I'm not cussing. I mean, literally, God loves what out of us? Y'all know this. What do you got inside of you if you're not careful? I never went out on Friday night and raised heaven without Jesus. Never. In fact, we never said, let's go raise heaven. Now, Kurt, you may have done that, but I never did that. Friday nights were not heavenly positioned. And y'all, I know some of y'all because you were there, but those of you that weren't there, did y'all do the same thing? It's just on the other side of the county, wasn't it? Or in another state. I mean, this is Hillview Heights Church. We've had people here get kicked out of countries for the way they behaved. Not cities, countries. But guess what? God never kicks us out. He brings us back in. His will is that you not perish, but that you would have everlasting what? Life. That's the will of God. That's what Paul comes with, and that's what we ought to come with. The faith and love that sprang from the hope of heaven. That has come to you in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Now I want you to truly understand God's grace. How many of y'all are glad to know? Absolutely, your sins are forgiven. That's God's grace. Even that one you thought wasn't is. Even the one that keeps coming back in your head all the time. How many of y'all got one or two that just keep coming back in your head all the time? Y'all know why that is? You want me to teach you today? You want me to teach you today? Because there is a real Satan, and guess what he does? Here's the way he messes with God's people. He brings up those things of our past to accuse us in our present. But the will of God is this. You and I stand forgiven by the blood of Jesus. That's why we can sing like that. His love, His love, His love. That's why we can sing that chorus. That's why when you hear Billy Duvall break it down and say, oh, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. See, it gets real. Amen. Well, how many of y'all are glad to know that you're God's people? in God's presence, able to fulfill God's purpose. All right, we are on mission. God is in the world, and I got a challenge for you. I want y'all to start revivals this week. Wherever you are, I want you to be a revival starter. So how in the world do I do that? First of all, you better wake up praying. How many of y'all pray every morning? I do. That's the first thing I do. When I wake up, I go, got another one. And then I go ahead and get pre-forgiven. I work on pre-forgiveness. Wayne, you need to work on this too. It'll help you. Watch this. I just go ahead and look at Elizabeth and I say, I know I'm going to do something wrong today. Go ahead and forgive me. I want to be pre-approved. So when I get home at night, Helen, I'll be all right. See what I'm saying? But you ought to thank God that forgiveness is available. And number three, though, listen, you ought to be a revival wherever you are because you are part of God's what? People. Grace and peace to you people. So in the morning, you ought to wake up. First thing you ought to do is look at your husband or your wife and say, you are married to a revival. Give them a big kiss. Say, come over here and feel the vibration of the revival. You and I are in Christ. Now, hold on. If y'all did this in the morning, you'd feel better. Some of y'all need to hug each other. You ain't hugged each other in 30 years. You might like it again. Try it. God made it. It's good.
Yeah, well, I don't have time for all that. I'm busy.
No, you're not. You're crabby. You're not busy. You're crabby. Yeah. Now, guess what? I guarantee you, crazy stuff's going to happen in my house because I'm preaching on this. And in the morning, I remember one day I preached on when bad things happen, God's still there. We came home and a pipe had frozen in our house and our basement had a foot and a half water in it. I was sloshing through there and Blake, my son, Dad, when bad things happen, God's still with us. Please, there have been times, I know why parents want to strike children at times. And I just laughed. I said, he's right from the mouth of babes. Yeah. God gets us through. Guess what? We got a shot back out and water sucked right out. It's amazing. There's going to be tough things happen, but guess what? God's still moving throughout the world and he's moving in you. Amen. So three things that'll cause you to be a personal revival. Here's what I believe. If you'll revive wherever you are, there will be a spirit of revival that begins to take place in this city, in this county. But see, it starts with Jerusalem, and then it slides on to Judea, and then it goes on to Samaria, and from the vibration of your personal revival, God's big enough to reach the world. Today, as we worship, guess what? You've worshiped throughout the world today. Costa Rica's baptizing as we speak. Glasgow, y'all remember big old Lockhart, long arm guitar player, sang a little rock and roll. Y'all know what's going on in Glasgow? They've seen 20 baptisms in the last 4 weeks in a brand new church. It ain't a year old. Yeah. Here in just a minute, old Billy Lowe. Who would have thought? Billy Lowe. Billy Lowe is mounting up. Billy Lowe. Warren East Raider Billy Lowe. He used to watch the Raiderette girls do that in ball games. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with all fervor on the church on Main. And people are being saved. Throughout the world, God's doing something. And here's all he asks you to do. Be in him where you are. And I find this about American Christians. They always want to do something great. Instead of just let God be great in them where they are. So here's the problem with American dream. We look for spotlights, and God's reality is he is the light. And that's enough. And once you get there, you'll understand grace. God's grace. So how many of y'all willing to just be a revival wherever you are? Now you need to warn people tomorrow. Scott, when you go to the bank, you need to warn them. Nothing worse than seeing a bunch of bankers break out in praise and worship right at lunch. You know, in their suits and stuff. Giving it that. I've seen accountants act like that. UK game. I want to celebrate Jesus just like you want to celebrate Jesus. Now let's let him go throughout the world. Guess where it starts? In a personal revival. Guess where that revival starts? Home, my neighbors, the convenience store, down the road, where God takes you to work, praise his name and be in the will of who? God. That's the understanding of grace. All right, I'm finished. Did y'all get this today? Yay or nay? Did you get it? Now, I want to thank God for what's going on here. Hey, listen, y'all are doing a tremendous job. I see you all inviting your friends to church. Why is that a big deal? They need to know Jesus. There's a high risk if they come here, they'll get saved. Because what are they going to hear? Cross and resurrection. What saves us? Cross and resurrection. Nothing magic to it. There's a lot of people that pray here every day. Y'all realize y'all got people praying for your marriages that you don't even know? We're crazy here at Hillview. We pray that your marriage stays together. Why? I don't want you taking up my time being divorced. No, I'm kidding. I don't want you to be divorced because that's not the will of God. I want you to raise your kids because that's the will of God. I want you to give faithfully, love faithfully, live faithfully because that's what? Will of God. And here's what you're gonna discover. When you step into the will of God, it's a lot more exciting, a lot more intriguing, and a lot more fulfilling than the American dream. Because here's what the American dream says. May I be glorified. Y'all ever been to a cemetery? Y'all ever been there? Y'all ever seen these monuments where people build like 10-foot monuments in the cemetery? You know what I figured out? Those people are just as dead as the people that got a footstone. I wonder why we spend so much money honoring the dead and so little living. I told Elizabeth, just take my ashes and throw them over the Barren River ski course back there. I said, so on the resurrection of the dead, I can come up on that slalom ski around ball number one. I'll look good too, honey. I have that six pack back in, that glorified body with a McDonald's hamburger in my hand. Triple stack. Fries on this side and a milkshake in the boat. Heaven. No heart problems. All right, y'all ready? Some people are going to get saved today, man. I'm excited about it. Some people in the balcony are going to get saved in the back, in the corners, because God's going to draw people. I want you to understand clearly, if you've never asked Jesus in your life, how many of y'all are going to be praying right now as we open up this altar? Whoever does not know Jesus, would you receive him today? See, I don't have to ask God if he wants to save you because he's already told me he wants to save you. He told me that in his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth him, in him, shall not die or perish, but will have absolutely eternal life. If you've not done that, this is not a suggestion. Do it. Because without it, you don't operate from heaven. You operate from your own perspective. And surely you know this. Your perspective is short-sighted at best. Because, Dan, I can only see what I can see. I only know what I know. Watch this. Here's where I am. I don't even know what I don't know. That's pretty limited, isn't it? I don't know what I don't know. But I can tell you what I do know. I do know that anybody who comes today kneels down at this altar and says, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to receive you. I want to be forgiven by you. I want to be changed by you. I've never seen Jesus one time refuse that person. Now, some of my colleagues say some are saved and some are not. Here's what I know. I've never seen Jesus refuse anybody that's asked. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I'm sorry. I repent. I believe you died on a cross. You've risen from a grave. Jesus will come into your life. You say, well, what's going to happen to me? You're going to be connected to heaven. And what used to be impossible now just became possible. By the will of who? God. How many of y'all believe that? I do. I believe it for you. Now, guess what? I can't make you get saved. I wish I could. I could, even though you a big old boy, if I thought I could jump you up there and get it in you, I'd do it. But guess what? I can't. It's got to be a willful choice on your part. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Now, some of you need to get baptized. How many need to get that baptized thing done? Okay, listen, I'm not playing. It's time to get this stuff done. We had a shot across the bow for the church this week. You're either going to heed that warning and get serious, or you're going to keep believing a lie from the devil that it'll never happen to us. That's the same lie the devil fed Nazi Germany about 80 years ago. A country that had more educated PhDs in it than any country in the world and was taken over. Dr. Earl, I ain't telling you nothing. You didn't fly over. Was taken over by a charismatic non-college graduate named Adolf. And the only reason he was able to get it is because God's people said, it surely won't happen here. The only people that could have stopped it were God's people. Because it was evil. And politics won't stop evil. And science won't stop evil. There's only one thing that stops evil. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is finished. Guess what that does? Stops evil and moves us toward heaven. So let's get that baptism done. Let's get in Christ if you're not in Christ. If you are in Christ, how many of you need to come and pray and say, God, start at my house, start with my friends, start with my family, start with my street, start with my block. And guess what? You may start out here in Richardsville and end up in Russia. But it's got to start where? Your house. Here. Amen? Y'all been great today. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for coming to church. Thanks for inviting friends. I mean, I really appreciate that. Because guess what? Some are going to be saved today. Only Jesus can save them. But I'm going to tell you what. We are in charge of inviting them. Does that make sense? That's what he told us to do. Invite them to hear. And you've heard today. He is Lord. Thanks, grace, peace, great stuff. Amen. Well, let's stand together. We're going to open this altar up. Our pastors are here at the altar to come talk to you. It doesn't matter where you go to church. Everybody here that attends Hillview Heights Church is welcome to the altar. And you say, well, Pastor Aaron, I think I want to come up there, but I don't even believe God exists. Come on, we'll talk about it. This altar is for you to let God touch you. In the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I need to be baptized. Lord Jesus, I just need to pray. Lord Jesus, heal my marriage. Lord Jesus, heal my illness. Come on, bring it to him. This altar is open in the name of Jesus. I thank God, BJ, I thank God for the freedom that men and women have sacrificed their life for, that here in the United States of America, I ain't got to have secret church. I can have loud, wide open church. Thank God for the blood of men and women that gave us that ability. And I can invite all these beautiful people to come and receive and experience God. So in the name of Jesus, this altar is already released. God's already saving you. So come and receive his power. God bless you.